say that.
My.
What did you do now, Bill?
We've been watching the homicide hunter Joe Kenda.
Yep.
He actually solved a whole bunch of cases. That was the Colorado Springs thing that we were talking about.
Yeah.
So welcome back to We the People. This is our second hour. You can find everything about the show and all sorts of archives going back to 2010 at wethepeopleradio.us. And my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor
this hour. Who's our sponsor, Bill?
This hour, it's Team Power, our local John Deere and Kubota tractor dealer.
And lawnmowers.
And, no, we don't do lawnmowers. We do riding lawn equipment. And,
I'm terribly sorry. That's right. Lawnmowers makes it sound like a guy walking around.
No, you,
these are all riding.
These are all riders that require an operator. And so, yeah, you can pick up your John Deere and Kubota equipment up there and see the guys up there at Team Power. They're running a winter special right now in the service department. You can get your equipment worked on for a discounted rate. Give them a call up there, 226-9226, or get them online at readingtractors.com. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard.
Spring will be here before you know it.
Before you know it. Yeah, Tom, you're a customer of Team Power. Mm-hmm. You bought a nice Kubota tractor up there. It was a beast. Yeah.
It was a beast.
Yeah, but I don't know about that.
Well, a nice tractor. I'll tell
usually
you that.
A beast has tires that are in excess of 6 foot tall. So,
well, okay, it was a mini beast.
Beast in training.
Yeah. So we were talking about some of the California laws coming up.
Subject again, that never goes away.
That never goes away, and many people say, "Well, this is an unconstitutional law," but it doesn't become unconstitutional. It may very well be until it gets a court decision to say it is unconstitutional. And that could come from a variety of whether starting at the local courts, at the superior court level, through the California system, and then going into the federal system, and ultimately to the Supreme Court if it's heard. And then, of course, we know that there's some Supreme Court decisions, such as the Heller decision in Chicago v. McDonald, that established the ability to own and possess firearms and purchase them in different places. I also serve, I'm trying to stay up to speed on this, I also serve on the California Rifle Pistol Association on the board of directors as a law enforcement liaison, and we have some other sheriffs that are on the board as well, and then I head up a group of about 30 California sheriffs and keep them informed on gun legislation and gun issues that we may wish to weigh in on at the state level or federal level as an individual sheriff. So I try and stay up on this very much. It's very near and dear to my heart, and
how do you guys keep track of all this stuff as it keeps changing?
Most of it is through emails that I get, again, through CRPA, another fine organization in California, is the Gun Owners of California, with the executive director being Sam Paredes. And I think you've had him on your show.
We love Sam.
He's a great guy, and he's another one that is there as a crusader for the Second Amendment and gun rights here in California and throughout the nation, and stays up on legislation. And then, of course, the National Rifle Association is active more on the national level. But here's a big one that's really going to torque some folks, is Assembly Bill 18. And that's just been put into a bill. And this bill has the express intent to put a excise tax on the sale of handguns and semi-automatic rifles and require the revenue be collected for that tax to go towards fund grants for the California Victim Program on more of education and prevention. But what they're trying to do is tax firearms heavily to try and outprice them for the average citizen. That's essentially what it's going to. It's not going to do anything to impact the criminal or people with mental health.
Criminals don't buy guns at stores.
No, they don't go in and buy them. They'll go out and steal them or get them through other illegitimate means. They don't follow the law. And with all the other shootings that you've seen in the news, those have been committed by criminals or people with mental health issues. And the legislators need to be addressing issues such as that with long sentences, more enforcement of the current laws that we have. But we haven't seen that. They want to keep making more laws that impact the law-abiding citizen versus the criminal or those people with mental health issues.
Have their myriad of laws actually made anybody safer?
I do not think so. No,
in general, have you seen some precipitous drop in crime?
No, in fact, there's a I was reading an article. It was in the I can't remember the news source, but I was reading it, and there was a study that with all the California gun laws, in fact, crime has gone up. There's been a reduction, a drop a little bit, but crime is up in California, property crimes and violent crimes, and yet we see that, but they try and enact more and more laws.
Well, while they're busy restricting the gun owners, they're letting criminals out of jail early because it's mean to keep them in jail.
Right. In fact, the governor just granted like some 145 pardons and clemency on their sentences recently. Some converted people that were on with life without possibility of parole, converted them to 25 years to life that they could have parole.
Wow.
And he's pardoned other people, which pardon excuses, says a mulligan, basically, and takes it off their record.
And weren't there some that the courts actually said, no, we can't let that guy out? Didn't they roll some back?
The court, I think, rejected three or four of those clemency and or pardons. And thankfully, we had some judges with some common sense there. And this goes against the courts, that people have been properly tried and convicted in a court of law
with a jury of their
peers, properly sentenced. And then in some of these cases where people have been convicted of murder, it goes against basically the victims. The state, the district attorney, was speaking for the victims that were killed in these things, and the family members no longer have their family member there. They've been killed. They can't enjoy them. They won't see births of children, going to school, graduations, other things, and because they were murdered by these people, and yet the governor saw to it to either reduce their sentence or pardon them. And that's what we're seeing in the California legislature with laws like AB 109 that released tens of thousands of people from state prison and pushed them back onto the counties. Then we saw the passage of Proposition 47 and 57 as well. That reduced.
And this is all. Those were done by the voters.
Those were done by the voters.
It's important to say who did these.
So when we say proposition goes before the voters, and then bills are through the legislature.
So the legislature, who was elected by the voters, passed AB 109. Then the voters themselves put these two propositions on, and they did what?
They passed, and so they reduced many felony crimes, primarily drug-related crimes and property crimes, to misdemeanors.
And so now those kinds of crimes are going up.
Exactly.
Huh, because they're misdemeanors. Mm-hmm. Who could have seen that?
And so I don't know when the pendulum is going to swing back, but also in California, we're seeing this is the first year in at least recent history that more people, good people of California, have left California than have come into California.
Yeah, I read that. It's the first time.
2017.
Yeah, the cost of a U-Haul leaving California is extraordinarily expensive.
Yes.
The cost of bringing a U-Haul into California is very, very cheap.
Right.
Because it's all about the outgoing.
And we're seeing more businesses, good businesses, also leave California because of the restrictions and regulations on them, such as California Air Quality Board and workers' comp and other ones. And so it's making it very expensive to be in business. But this bill, if it passes, will put another big tax on gun owners wanting to buy.
And what was the bill number on that?
That was Assembly Bill 18. And then there's another one regarding peace officers and recording. That's AB 54. And so if there's some type of video recording or audio recording that law enforcement has, say a body cam, and then there's an incident, say an officer-involved shooting, the agency would be required that has that recording to release it within 45 days. And it requires the agency to provide an estimated date for the disclosure, and then the recording must be made public within 45 days. So we'll see that. Senate Bill 55 is going to add to the list of prohibited persons. And so people that have certain misdemeanors will now be restricted and prohibited from owning firearms for 10 years that they want to make it, add to that. And then that can involve alcohol intoxication or possession of certain controlled substances that would violate it. So if they got a misdemeanor conviction of that, then people would be restricted from owning firearms for 10 years. Now, that could include, it doesn't say what the list of laws are as of yet, but that can could include misdemeanor DUI. And so maybe a person makes a bad judgment call, bad decision, gets picked up for driving under the influence, gets convicted of a DUI, could be restricted from owning and possessing firearms for 10 years. That means
even in their house.
Even in their house.
This isn't like you can't carry them out in the street, in your house.
You could not possess them.
That's ridiculous.
Wow. We got to take a quick break here, and we'll come back. We of course have more bad laws for you for the rest of the hour.
Do we have any good news?
I tried to have a little bright spot with the music, but that's it. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? If we catch a criminal, when we catch a criminal, there's nothing we can do but play cops and robbers, cops and robbers.
Kind of what happens when all these balls go in. There was more, but we're not going to hear it.
So we were talking before we went on break that if a person had been hospitalized for mental health issues, basically in California it's called 5150 of the Welfare and Institution Code, that if you're in danger to yourself or others, i.e. suicidal, excuse me, or are gravely disabled and unable to care for yourself, then they would be prohibited in having a firearm for the rest of their life. I mean, that also kind of makes some pretty good sense. No, but there's going to be a lot of gun laws. This is only the start of the new legislature that's coming in the first part of January.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see, I think, a fairly large amount of gun control laws coming in. And our governor-elect, Grab'em Gavin Newsom, has already said, basically, if it comes before him, it goes to his desk, and it's a gun control law, he's going to sign it.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah, be prepared.
Common sense is out the window. Yep.
Yeah. So we're going to see that. Of course, the California Rifle Pistol Association and gun owners of California, individual law enforcement officers such as sheriffs are going to be engaged in that. But it's going to be hard to curb that because of the supermajority currently held within the California legislature.
But those will still have to go to a vote, won't they?
Well, they go to a vote of the legislators. It won't go to the vote of the people. Those are bills through
people
the legislature. You know, I'm a bill, only a bill. Mm. And that'll go before the legislature. And if it passes through the legislature and goes to the governor's desk and he signs it, that's law, unless it's challenged for the constitutionality of it.
Right.
So what a great combination. I mean, you look at all the, you know, all these things coming together, you know, letting criminals out of jail, reducing, you know, large, important crimes, right. Things that you would be afraid.
Yeah, to misdemeanors.
Right.
It should keep everybody on their toes. Those are now all misdemeanors.
It's kind of a perfect storm.
And then disarming the public.
Right.
And law enforcement is bad, so of course we have to do everything we can to keep you guys from, you know.
They're making more law enforcement personnel records, public information now, such as that videotape, and then they can also challenge our, within our personnel files, that if a person is involved in a critical incident, there's a Public Records Act request, they can look at ours and looking for either a deception, dishonesty, sexual misconduct and others for that to attack the credibility of the officer.
It's already incredibly difficult to find good personnel.
It
I guess
is.
We should tell people about that a little bit. And I don't know if it's every state, but I know in California.
We're seeing a lot of it, not only in California, but it is kind of a national phenomenon where people are not wanting to go into law enforcement. It is a rewarding career, even with the challenges that we're seeing now in society. But it is very difficult to recruit people. Part of it is the negativity that we're seeing nationwide of the rhetoric about law enforcement. Others that you do have to work night shifts and varying shifts and holidays. I worked many, many a holiday and missed either the holiday itself with family, or, and I'm not whining or complaining about it. It's just a matter of fact.
It's something that affects you guys.
Or able to miss your kids' Christmas or whatever program that it is because we're out there working. Mm-hmm. And on holidays, Christmas Eve and Christmas, Thanksgiving, there's still men and women out on patrol, patrolling and doing their job to protect the community. But we're not seeing that. We're all competing for the same person. And I go to our Sheriff's Association meetings, and we hear it time and time again from large agencies such as Los Angeles or small agencies, whether it be MODOC or Shasta. We're all looking for that same person. We're having difficulties in recruiting them.
And well, the Highway Patrol has to go through an extraordinary number of people.
I've heard that they have to go through about 100,000 applicants to get about 100 people on the street.
Isn't that mind-blowing?
That is just mind-blowing, yeah. Absolutely.
But you have a lot of people that are using drugs, so you have a lot of recreational marijuana use, which is eliminating them.
We see dishonesty in the backgrounds, where we go before a lie detector test, and the person goes, oh, you're going to do a lie detector test? Yeah. Well, you know, I said that I don't use drugs. I think I may have misquoted that. Now I remember. I think I did drugs recently. And then that shoots them, no pun intended, gets them out of the background process because they're being dishonest. So if they're going to be dishonest when the application process, what about under stress?
Right.
And writing that difficult report. And we don't want to see
dishonesty. You don't want them out there alone.
Right. So we see that. So it makes it a big challenge to do that. Sometimes we see very bad credit. People go, well, what's that got to do with it? And it goes towards maturity, mm-hmm. decision making. If you have a huge credit debt, you're also subject to, could be, to corruption and or bribery. Mm-hmm. And how did you get that debt? Is it due to medical expenses that were out of your control? Is it due to student loans, which you were getting and bettering it? That makes a little bit of a difference. But if you're just buying stuff, that's probably not a good decision making if you're overliving your current limit. And so that we look at those
very seriously. They have to be factors when you're putting mm-hmm. a gun on somebody and putting them in charge.
So here they have to be. I mean, you can't just have a guy who, you know, can go out and, like the Andy Griffith show, right? You know, you can't just go be Barney One Bullet anymore. You have to be really smart. I mean, there's a lot to know.
There's a lot of physical requirements, a lot of educational requirements. You go through for the Law Enforcement Academy in general, that's 23 weeks of extensive training. For large agencies like San Bernardino, Los Angeles, PD, and Sheriff, and California Highway Patrol, their academies are 6 months long. That they mm-hmm. go through. And so it's a lot of training to do that. And then, after they complete the academy, you go through at least 17 weeks of training in the field training, to get ready. And so you can wash out there. So from initial testing to putting a person on the street after the academy can be a year or more. And that's a significant amount of investment.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to invest in somebody to see if they're going to make it or not.
Right. Right. So it's a very competitive to get that, but we're not seeing the applicants come in, and we are seeing that in other places.
Is it tougher in the rural areas or in the city areas?
A little bit of both. Maybe a little bit more in the rural areas because generally the rural areas don't pay as well as the urban areas.
I was just thinking maybe the cost of living was a little lower.
Well, the cost of living is lower, but then the pay is lower.
Yeah.
And so that makes it difficult to attract, especially here in Shasta County, our pay is lower. And so, but even though the cost of living is lower, you still have you're paying the same amount for gas.
Yeah.
Those homes still cost, and groceries and everything. Homes still generally cost about the same unless you're comparing them to the Bay Area where it's like $2,500 or $3,500 a month for a studio apartment or something.
Right.
And that's driving people out of the metropolitan areas too. There's a lot of people that live in Sacramento, California that commute to the Bay Area every day.
Now, do you have a high turnover of say, existing officers that transfer to other departments for more money?
We are seeing that, especially here in the local area. They might transfer to the Redding Police Department or others for that pay, although that's slowed down somewhat because of changes in the retirement systems, too. If you leave under one system, and one's called 3% at 50, 3 at 50 retirement, and now they have it to, like, you might be 2.7 at 57. So sometimes they don't want to leave because of that change.
Mm.
But we are seeing them. I mean,
Much movement between city PDs and sheriff's office?
Even the police departments aren't seeing as much moving for lateral transfers for that. So a lot of them are sending people to the academy. We're sending four people that are starting December 31st to the academy. And those are people that came within our organization from the jail, from a correctional deputy, and are going to the law enforcement academy. Excuse me.
Because how hard is it to become a person at the jail?
It's still a requirement. They go through a background, and then they also have to go through a psychological exam and pass that as well, both for the jail and for deputy sheriff. And so some wash out on the psychological exam.
And once they've done all that, and they turn out to be like a good person, you guys kind of eyeball them and like, hey,
absolutely. And that's the advantage of the folks working at the jail. We have a chance to see them and their work ethic and performance and what's going on there. And then we can send them to the academy. And again, that's a significant amount to send a person to the academy, of giving them per diem, their meals and housing and the equipment, cars and all that, just for the academy, and then still get them here.
Hmm.
So if they go through the academy here, is there a requirement that they come and be an officer here for a period of time?
We are just getting that.
So like the Army?
Kind of. We're getting that contract approved. And then if they leave within 3 years, they could be responsible for reimbursing Shasta County for their education for that. And we're seeing that in other areas of California work, too, for agencies. But then some other agencies are saying, okay, fine, if you want to come to work for us, we'll buy out your contract. There's some agencies that are giving a $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 signing bonus if you'll sign up with their agency.
Wow.
Yeah, probably in the long run it saves them money than having to train.
Some are paying moving expenses. And it's really difficult for us to find officers that want to work in the very rural areas, such as we call it a resident spot, and it could be a small...
Like Bernie?
Bernie, Shingletown, Lakehead. Those are small rural communities within our county. And it requires a person be self-supervising, being able to think on their feet, sometimes without the options of having backup right there. Backup could be half hour, hour, or more away. And so they have to be an experienced officer. You just don't want to send a rookie up there. And so hard to attract those. There was a recent change in our contract negotiations in which people that work in those areas could get a $5,000 a year stipend or bonus for working in those areas.
Mm.
So we'll see if that helps out.
That probably makes it a little bit easier.
We haven't had people break down the door for it to come, but it certainly can help.
Right.
Wow. I'm still always shocked at the 100,000 people to find 100 to work
again,
at the Highway Patrol.
Again, they wash out in backgrounds and then in the academy, washing out there as well. And so it's been very difficult for all law enforcement agencies of hiring qualified personnel.
Unbelievable.
Mm.
Well, Dad was a Highway Patrolman.
Yeah.
Who's badge number
2714.
2714. I think they're into the 22,000 area now.
Yeah.
So when did he serve? That was probably back in the 60s?
Oh, yeah.
Really old.
I think he retired in 75.
Yeah, so he went through some difficult time of the late 50s and 60s and civil unrest.
Oh, yeah.
He was much like
we're seeing all the big riots.
You're seeing history repeat itself now. But
Yep. No, he was at the Berkeley riots.
1.0.
He had guys in his department that were at the Watts riots.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that was...
Do you have his badge?
No, I don't. Oh. I think my mom has his badge.
Oh, well, it's within the family. That's quite a keepsake to have, especially a number of the 2000 era.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's we got the badge, and it has the little bar on it. And, he had quite a history with the department.
Yeah, very nice. Well, thank you.
He told me one time that... we were talking about serving on CHP because my brother went to the academy, and he said in his 25 or 30 years that he was on the job, he said, I only had to take my gun out of the holster one time in a line of duty. And he said, today it's every day almost.
Yeah, it's off the hook.
Yeah, it's totally different game.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, wildly different.
Yeah.
All right, we have to take a really quick break, and then we'll be right back with Sheriff Tom Basenko. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
A creek in the rocks in the high I'm on patrol. No time to waste. Whoa, I need to get you under control. Speed up the pace. Whoa, this time it's time to get things going. I'm a cop, I'ma lock you up like a criminal. You better run, run, run till you can't run no more. Till you can't run no more. You're under arrest. Hey, you better confess. You're caught in that, so baby.
Good lord.
That is pretty good bump music. I'm sure there's been a whole bunch of people that would be offended by listening to that as well. You're under arrest, but, but probably not on this listening audience.
Yeah, but it's bizarre. If you listen to the whole song, he's singing this to his girlfriend. I was like, okay.
Oh.
That's the one date relationship.
Yeah.
Let's play You're Under Arrest. It's like,
we're down into the last 30 minutes, less than 30 minutes now of the show. I mean, 2 hours have flown by pretty quick.
Yeah.
We talk about crime all day.
We could talk about crime all day, but another important aspect is to be prepared and try not to be a victim of a crime. I mean, there's a lot of things that people can do that help them from becoming a victim, and some of it's pretty simple. I mean, lock your car. Don't leave the keys in the ignition.
Don't leave your purse on the front seat or your wallet.
We see a lot of that, especially the purses in the front seat. That maybe the ladies are going to, or doesn't necessarily have to be a lady, but someone's going to the gym that has a purse, and that they leave it on the front
nice
seat.
Nice save.
The crook comes by. Well, they know that they're probably in the gym. They're going to be there for an extended period of time, at least for an hour, and then they smash the window, steal the purse, and then they can go out and start charging right away. Sometimes they make a phone call and start buying stuff online before it's noticed. Even within the gym, some people sneak in the gym, go back in and look for the unlocked lockers that don't have a lock on them, and then look in the lockers and steal things from them as well.
Wow.
So that's one way. If you're going to, maybe put it in the trunk at least and make sure that no one's watching, and that helps. And again, lock the car. Don't leave your keys in the ignition, especially if you lock the car first, and don't leave them in the ignition.
Yeah.
But same thing, if you can secure your homes. Many people still don't lock their homes.
And they've got their garage door opener in their vehicle.
Yep.
Leave the unlocked vehicle in the driveway, lock the house.
Leave their garage door open, and a lot of times people will come by. There's nobody in the garage, nobody in the front yard, and they stop the car, run in, maybe grab some power tools or something, and they're gone. And so, again, keep your garage secure. And, of course, now there's a lot of different type of the camera systems you can install that are wireless or wired, or the doorbells that have camera systems on them that help notify you even if you're not home.
How about just leave the lights on?
That's another plus. Trimming the shrubbery around your home so people don't have places to hide. Not that it has to be a barren, desolate yardscape, but at least the big bushes by the front.
We're not at the point where we need moats yet.
Not yet. Well, maybe in some places, but yeah. But the big bushes right by the front door, trim them down a little bit. Someone could hide behind that and or get in. Locking the back doors, too, because a lot of people will go in through, a side fence and then have access to the side door to the garage, break into the garage, and usually what's in the garage are tools and pry devices that access into the interior of the home. And again, keep things locked up. If a person's a gun owner, we've talked a lot about guns. Being a responsible gun owner is if you can have your weapons secured as well. Certainly you want access to them for self-protection, but you might want to lock up the other ones, and we want to keep young hands away from firearms until they're properly educated. So again, we see accidents involving children getting access to firearms. But lock those up, get a good quality gun safe, and lock up your guns, and then also your important papers, life insurance and deeds and wills and stuff like that. That can also go in the gun safe. And then also a tip for all the folks out there, if you have a gun safe, go out and buy, like if your spouse, significant other, buy that piece of jewelry or a present, wrap it up in a nondescript wrapping paper. And so you know what's going to happen when you forget that important date, like a birthday or an anniversary or something, then you're accused of forgetting it. You go to the gun safe, open it up, and say, ta-da, surprise, there you are, and you're the hero.
I've thought about it all along.
Yeah.
There you go.
So,
I was totally prepared.
Yes, there you go. That can also be preparedness as well. But also, you know, lock your homes up and secure them. But then also here in the North State and other parts of California, be prepared for wildfire. And that's about clearing fuels away from your house, dry grasses, brush, trees with low-hanging branches. Those are all called ladder fuels. Clearing that away and then making that secure as much as you can. If you can get 100-foot clearance at least, that's good. And then also having what we call a go bag and be ready to go. And that's maybe having a 2 or 3 day supply of clothes packed, maybe copies of your medical prescriptions, phone charger, because people usually forget their phone chargers. Having your phone charger, a list of people, as I say, of your phone numbers. If your phone goes dead or you forget it, at least you have other numbers to call that let people know where you are. And your prescription meds for your pets, if you do. And then
one thing we saw a lot with the fire, as soon as we saw smoke, I headed for the gas station.
That's a very good point.
I got to tell you, boy, by that night, because the power had gone out,
right?
Power goes out, there's no gas station. I couldn't believe it. There were hundreds of people in line at the gas station.
Have your car fueled, or at least maybe not let it get below a half tank. Mm-hmm. And that's being prepared because a lot of times in the communities here in the North State that saw had to evacuate because of a potential dam failure and or the fires, they're running out of gas, or it's in a panic of everybody. You're seeing a big long line of cars, and then sometimes there's fights and collisions and stuff.
And it happened.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I was out there that night when that fire went through Redding, and it was. I saw things I never would have expected.
And so we had one of our patrol vehicles were rammed. A person went through an intersection, rammed the patrol car.
Yeah.
I think it was probably in a panic. Luckily, the deputy wasn't hit, but it did damage our patrol car. There were other public safety vehicles that were being rammed because people were panicking. And you don't have to wait for an evacuation notice to evacuate. If you want to evacuate and leave, probably err on the side of caution and leave ahead of time. Don't wait to the last minute to try and hook up your RV or load up the horses.
You always hear about so many people who were putting things in their vehicle and then wound up having to abandon the vehicle and jump in a fire truck to be rescued or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't always pay to wait.
During the car fire, we were out on patrol, and we ended up picking up two people that were walking alongside the road in a part that had already been overrun by fire, and they were surrounded by fire, and we loaded them up in the car and took them with us, and they could have ended up being a victim of the fire, getting killed or something.
Sure.
And so we saw, you know, two-lane roadways turn into one-lane roadways of people trying to leave at the last minute, get a jump on it and try and leave ahead of time. And if they have large livestock, such as horses, a lot of people don't have horse trailers to transport them in.
Right.
And or the horses have never been in a trailer, and that causes a whole new rodeo to try and get horses loaded up in a hurry. Take the time and leave ahead of time. And if you get that evacuation notice, leave. We don't take those evacuation notices lightly. And then if you don't leave and then the emergency erupts that you're getting overrun or maybe your house is on fire, then fire personnel and public safety personnel are putting their own lives at risk trying to go in and do a rescue. And that's not a good situation either.
And that's where all that communication ahead of time with all the different things you guys do and all the agencies you work with, that's where that all pays off.
Yeah, and sometimes the fire is so fast moving, and we've seen that here locally in the car fire. We saw it in the camp fire as well. That was in another county. That this fire was so fast moving that notifications can't go out fast enough. Or landlines are the damaged and that can't go out via landline. Cell phone towers are damaged, or they're overrun with cell phone traffic, and they can't get out the emergency notifications.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we work with TV and radio stations on putting information out, and radio and news media with like the newspaper that all have mainly social media websites and social media pages. But again, you have to be in tune to all of that.
Yeah, and there's a real good possibility you're gonna be out there on your own.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for that evacuation notice to evacuate. And then we try to go door to door, knock on doors, give people evacuation notices, and still they don't want to leave. And they're endangering themselves, their family, their children in some cases, And we've seen that. And then they can also become victims of the fire. We saw that here in Shasta as well, that some people chose not to leave, and then their home was overrun, and they ended up dying in the fire.
Yeah, campfire, and people couldn't get out.
Right. And there was people alongside the roadway in the campfire that perished in their vehicles.
Yeah. Don't fool around.
We're all in the rebuilding process. Shasta County is
waiting for next.
Was way ahead of the process of clearing off lots and securing the land for erosion. They put in some wattles, which are straw-filled tubes to help for erosion, mm-hmm. getting some straw on the hillsides, and that's helped. We haven't received a deluge of rain at one time, so it allows it to soak in a little bit and not cause landslides and stuff. So,
I think people are also looking a little bit at, how do they get out? What are their ingress and egress from their house?
Right.
Because a lot of people all of a sudden it's like, oh, how do I get out of here? We have to take a really quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you about other kinds of crime.
Oh, okay.
I've got a question for you. So you're listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
We drove right past that no trespassing sign. We sat on the tailgate and watched the planes take off. We thought we had all night, there was no need to rush. That's when those cops came pulling up. And I thought, man, ain't this some shit. Your daddy's gonna kill me. But if I survive tonight, I wouldn't change one thing. Baby, I know it sounds crazy, but there was something about the way the blue lights were shining, bringing out the freedom in your eyes. I was too busy watching you going wild, child, to be worried about going to jail. You were thinking that running for it would make a good story. I was thinking you were crazy as hell. You were so innocent, but you were stealing my heart. I fell in love in the back of a cop car.
Who knew? Even in country music.
Yeah. The old cop car.
Hey, we were talking about that being prepared. And some people can get a lot of information about being prepared for wildfires if they go to a CAL FIRE website of readyforwildfire.org. And that talks about defensible space, preparing
for... Is it for like F-O-R or number four?
F-O-R, all spelled out. Readyforwildfire.org. And that talks about defensible space, preparing for wildfires, wildfire application apps, emergency kits, pre-evacuation preparations, and how to harden your home. Like I talked about that defensible space. So a lot of information there. If you go to the California Office of Emergency Services, there's a lot of preparation there, information, or from the FEMA website. There's a lot out there to be prepared.
FEMA's got a good app, too. Notify you of, like, high winds, different storm warnings, floods, that kind of stuff. The FEMA app for your phone is actually quite good.
A lot of times the power is going to go down when you talk about high winds. If there's a big weather front coming in, like high winds, PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, serving a lot of the unincorporated areas of California, especially in the rural areas, they'll shut down grids of their power lines to avoid or prevent particularly fires started by either down lines or limbs blowing across them, and or if there's a fire. And so a lot of times if there's a fire in the area, a lot of times that power grid is shut down. And so that could limit access to phones, the internet, computers, some different things. So you need to be prepared and, again, take that self-initiative and maybe leave if there's a fire in the area to that. Because a lot of times, sometimes those ways of communication might be restricted or prevented.
Yeah, I know a lot of people say, well, I'm going to stay and protect my house. Well, you have no idea what you're up against. You cannot protect your house with a garden hose when one of these fires comes through. It'll go right over the top of you.
That, and usually what are you dependent upon? Usually in these rural areas, a well. And the well is
needs power.
Powered by needs power.
And if it, unless you have a backup generator to power the well, that's not happening again.
Nope.
And a 3/4-inch garden hose is not going to protect your home.
Nope.
When you see firefighters with large diameter firefighting hoses and apparatus that can put out lots of gallons per minute, and sometimes they're not successful.
They're not.
As hot and as fast-moving as these fires are, and then you're risking, again, your life, the lives of the first responders and the firefighters to try and get to you if you're overrun.
Yeah.
And they may not make it there.
That's right.
So with regular crime, you know, you're downtown. I mean, obviously, there are some places you probably shouldn't go. I mean, people wind up in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's a good point. I mean,
but how many times, I guess,
being aware of your surroundings,
how many times do they already know they shouldn't be there? And that little voice in your head says,
so
you know,
those
this is a
on
bad
the back
deal.
Of your neck is standing, are standing up. That's usually a good clue. Sometimes driving around communities, if there's a concertina wire on fences and bars on the windows, that's
keep
usually,
driving.
That's usually a clue that you may not be in the best part of
neighborhood.
Town. One time I was in the Los Angeles area driving on a city street and made a wrong turn. And as soon as I turned onto the street, the whole atmosphere of the community changed. And I brought it to the attention of my wife and my adult child that was in the vehicle. I said, look at this. I said, we just turned. We're at not a half a block of where we were. And we are in the wrong part of town right now. And I said, even though our doors are locked on our vehicle and I'm armed, I'm still uncomfortable driving through this neighborhood. So we got back on where we were supposed to be. But it can change that quick. You have to be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
And you just shouldn't ignore that little voice that always tells you.
Exactly.
You know, people say that all the time. I got in the elevator and I felt weird about it. Or I went out in the parking lot and there were just two people out there and parking garages, all sorts of things like that.
Try and park in a well-lighted area and parking garages. If you're the only car in a parking garage and there's a lot of pillars for support and everything, probably you could end up easily being victimized because there's a lot of places for bad people to hide and you're the only one around. Not a good situation.
Well, the other thing too, if you're like crime drama people, not the fake ones, but I mean, you know, shows made about actual crimes, the thing you can't help but miss is that most of these people knew each other.
Correct.
I mean, this was somebody they let into their house or they went somewhere with who was sketchy or what. I mean, they all seem to know each other in a lot of
I was traveling across the United States on vacation a few months ago, and I can't remember what state I was in. But anyway, there was a state penitentiary nearby, and you wouldn't have known it except
don't pick up hitchhikers.
He said, yeah, caution, do not pick up any hitchhikers in the area. And I said, well, that's a clue, especially if they're in like a blue suit or an orange suit.
Yeah,
if they're wearing weird.
Must be a highway worker.
If they're wearing socks that are too big and flip-flops.
Yeah, exactly.
But I bet it happens.
It does, and it can be something as simple as going back to your car after you're shopping at the mall. Again, if you're going to be at nighttime, it's getting a little darker earlier, park near a light standard. And just as before you get to your car, have your keys ready to unlock it and get in. And then get in, lock it, start up and go. There was another scam that was going around California. If there was a note on your windshield or a photocopy of like a $100 bill, don't open your car door and get it, because then that's a scam to get somebody access into your car right where they're waiting around. If there's people maybe waiting around your car or occupied in cars, maybe wait till they leave or maybe go back to the mall and get to the assistance of a security guard to escort you to your car. If it doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. Again, listen to that little voice in your head. It may not be wrong. You know, of course, if you're hearing the voices too long, you might want to seek professional help, but I'm just kidding there.
You might want to just sign yourself up to lose your gun rights, sir.
Yeah, but you have to be aware of those situations where you are. You might want to not go to the ATM in that dark alley at 2 o'clock in the morning. Again, that's kind of, there's a local bank here that has a little parking area for the dumpster that can hide people in. There's a whole bunch of alcoves around that just opens it up to be a victim of crime if you're going there.
Oh, right by their ATM?
Yeah, right by their ATM. And so it's not a good thing. Either go someplace else or prepare ahead of time to get that cash.
There are a lot of things that are pretty pretty basic. Like, I know it makes Bill crazy, but I have, like, my vehicles set that when I turn the key off, all the doors don't unlock.
Right. I usually can set that within the car.
You can set that within the car. Same, too, when you unlock your vehicle, you can set it so only the driver's door unlocks.
Right.
All the doors don't unlock.
Right.
So there are some really, especially if you live alone, I mean, there are a lot of things you can do.
If you're at home, someone knocks on the door, ask who it is. You don't have to open the door. And if they say it's law enforcement, hey, have dispatch call my house here and see if it's dispatch.
Well, that's a good idea.
You can still challenge them. Or if you look through the peephole and see if the person's in uniform, they say who they are. Necessarily don't answer your door. So some people say there's a knock on the door, I'm not answering it. Well, at least let them know somewhere in your home, because some people, burglars, sometimes knock on the door, and if there's no answer, they go someplace else and either shoulder the door or kick in, break a window, or maybe just do it in the front door.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Christmas is over for now, but, you know, that beautiful Christmas tree in your front window with all the packages underneath it is just a nice message for the burglars
magnet.
To come in and burglarize
go
the
shopping.
Home. Yes.
Is Christmas... What are the highest crime days? Is there any particular day that there's more burglaries? Or
It varies, and it varies probably from time of year and stuff, and then are the burglaries that it occurred during a certain day or was it reported during a certain day? So it does vary. We take a lot of burglary reports during the daytime because people come in, like maybe after the weekend if they've been away, and then discover their home's been burglarized. Or in other times, they'll come home and report it in the evening because their home's been burglarized during the daytime. Some burglars kind of, quote, specialize in doing burglaries during the daytime because a lot of people
are at work.
And both people work nowadays.
Right, right.
Or you might get some scam, too, of somebody will knock on the door if you answer it. Hey, do you want your lawn mowed or your windows cleaned? I'm here. I'm looking for work. Go away. And then they come up with, or they're looking for John Smith that might live in the area, and it's just a scam because you answered the door and they were seeing if somebody was going to be home.
Right.
So, you know, chance favors the prepared mind, and prepare, be aware of your surroundings, lock your home, secure your home as you can and are financially able to.
Be useful to know your neighbors as well.
That is very good. And Neighborhood Watch is a big plus, and they also have applications for that. Like a neighborhood watch as well. Uh-oh, looks like we've been just covering the facts.
And it's the facts, kinda, ma'am.
So,
good thing we just said just facts, ma'am.
Theme song from Dragnet. Looks like we're wrapping up another session of We the People. I'll let you take it from there.
Thanks, Tom. Sheriff Tom Pacheco from
on, Tom.
Shasta County. So we will see you at Costco since we try to stay out of crime. And have a happy new year.
Best of new years to you and be safe.
All right, everybody. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.